Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're looking through some really interesting source material, pulling out the key insights from quite a remarkable story. We're diving into a personal journey specifically about going back to college, you know, later in life. It's really about what happens when this deep desire you've held onto for ages crashes into, well, some serious self-doubt and maybe baggage from the past.
Exactly. And this source material, it gives us a really close look at someone in her 40s, deciding to face these pretty deep-seated insecurities.
Yeah.
Things about her own worth, her history, which definitely wasn't an easy road. So our goal here in this deep dive is to explore how that journey actually played out, and maybe more importantly, to kind of unearth the surprising power of belief, both from within, yes, but also from some unexpected places outside herself.
Okay, so let's get into the story then. It kicks off with this thought, right? An idea that just wouldn't go away, the idea of going to college. In her 40s, now if you put yourself in your shoes just for a second, what are those immediate like gut punch doubts that probably come rushing in?
Well, absolutely. And it's quite striking how common those initial fears are, isn't it? For her, the questions were very specific, but I think they resonate widely. She talks about wrestling with, am I actually smart enough for this?
Right. The big one.
Yeah. And wow, it's been so long since I was last in a classroom.
The practicalities, too.
Definitely. Will I be able to keep up, pass the classes? Mm. Will they even accept me?
Mm.
And maybe the one that cuts the deepest, the source notes this. Do I even deserve to go?
Oof, that's heavy.
It really is. These aren't just logistical things, are they? They tie right into those core feelings of inadequacy, that whole imposter syndrome idea, you know, doubting yourself, even when you might be perfectly capable.
Those doubts sound incredibly potent. Does the source give us a sense of why they were so strong for her, maybe something in her past?
It does, yeah.
I don't know.
And understanding that background is pretty crucial to seeing just how brave her current actions were.
Mm-hmm.
Her high school years back in the 90s were tough. She admits she, quote, barely showed up. And looking back, she identified why. A chaotic home life, being raised by an alcoholic parent, even some substance use herself. School back then, she says, was more about survival, not growth. There just wasn't the stability or self-worth needed to really engage.
That really paints a picture. So given that difficult start, what was different this time around? What fueled this new, powerful drive?
It seems like there was this fundamental shift, you know. This time, as she put it, it wasn't about obligation. It was about longing.
A longing.
Yeah, she just wanted more for her life. Her work background for years was in early childhood development, childcare.
Okay.
But she clarifies, that came mostly out of necessity, you know, for her own kids. It wasn't really her deep passion. And despite having lots of practical experience, she felt she'd hit a ceiling without that degree.
Ah, the qualification barrier.
Exactly. She felt employers saw her skills only up to a point, even though she knew she had more to offer.
Yeah.
So bottom line, she needed the credentials to open the next door.
Okay, so with that clear motivation, that longing, how did she actually start? What were those first maybe tentative steps?
Well, her first move was pretty cautious, like she was testing the waters. She started just researching the local community college.
Makes sense.
Her thinking was, okay, it's cheaper than the university. And it felt like a safer way to wade in rather than dive all the way.
Even wading in sounds scary, though, given her background.
Oh, absolutely. And remember, she was a first-generation college student. So there's that whole layer of didn't know what I didn't know.
Right, just the sheer number of unknowns.
Huge.
Yeah.
But then there was this little discovery. Something kind of unexpected happened. She found out she'd actually already been accepted years before. She'd done one semester right after getting her GED.
No way.
Yeah. So that meant she didn't have to go through the whole application process again. Mm. Didn't have to prove herself again in that way. It was this small but really powerful bit of validation. A little sign that maybe, just maybe, this dream wasn't as out of reach as it felt.
Wow. Okay. That must have helped clear some big mental hurdles, finding that out. But the story points to one final, really significant hurdle she had to face, a very personal one. What was that?
Yeah, this next part, it's really important to understand it in the context of her past relationships. Her previous marriage, she explains, had basically conditioned her to expect resistance and absolutely no support.
Hmm.
She described a partner who seemed to view her growth as, like, competition instead of being supportive. She specifically mentions getting no help with the kids, no quiet time to study, and definitely zero encouragement when she tried school before.
That sounds incredibly difficult.
Yeah, she felt her ex just didn't want me to grow, especially not beyond him. So that history created this deep-seated fear, this expectation of pushback, when it came to her own ambitions.
Okay, so with that weighing on her, you can really feel the tension as she goes to talk to her current husband, John. How did she actually approach him?
She describes herself as being really timid, scared, almost embarrassed, actually.
Outstandable.
She remembers the exact words, just kind of putting it out there very carefully. I think I want to go to college. Delivered, she said, soft, careful. Like I was waiting for the no, just braced for that resistance.
And John's response, what did he say? And why was it apparently so pivotal?
His response was incredibly simple on the surface, but just transformative for her. He just looked at her and said, why wouldn't you?
Just like that.
Just like that. No hesitation, no doubt in his voice, mm-hmm. just complete unquestioning support. And his belief in her, she says, it cracked something open inside me. It essentially gave me permission to believe in myself.
Wow.
It's amazing, right? How hearing that from someone you trust can challenge years of negative self-talk. It provides like a new anchor for how you see yourself. And the shift, according to the source, was almost immediate. From that point on, she started moving, slowly at first, nervously, but forward. And then eventually she says she was moving fast.
It really is incredibly to think about how years of conditioning, that internal voice of doubt, could be shifted by one single sentence. The core insight here from the source material feels so potent. It's that sometimes all it takes is one sentence to undo years of silence, to soften the voice of self-doubt, to begin again.
It really underscores how powerful external validation can be, doesn't it? Especially when it comes from someone you deeply trust. And it's not just for huge things like going back to college. It applies in those smaller everyday moments too, when we're fighting our own doubts. That simple, unwavering belief from someone else can sometimes be the very key we need to unlock our own belief, giving us that that permission to go for it.
That's a really powerful takeaway. So maybe something for you, the listener, to think about as you go through your day. What, one sentence maybe? Or just one moment of genuine belief, either one you receive or maybe one you could offer to someone else. What might that unlock? Could it break years of silence or quiet down that nagging self-doubt? What could you perhaps begin again?